morning and welcome to Thursday Morning Roundtable. My name is Sandra Barrett, and on behalf of University College of Syracuse University, it's my pleasure to welcome you here this morning to the roundtable. I have good news for those of you who may have forgotten that Valentine's Day is upon us on Friday, February 14th, which at this moment is tomorrow. After today's program, you'll have the opportunity to purchase some Mary Elizabeth chocolate. You will remember the Mary Elizabeth chocolate story that Greg Tripoli told us at a roundtable last year. There's a history with the Onondaga Historical Association. And the OHA will give you the opportunity to get some of that delicious chocolate after the meeting. So that's the good news. Yay. I also wanted to remind you that next week we will be heading towards the Eastern Hemisphere. We'll be talking with the director, Charles Benjamin, of the Near East Foundation, which is, I'm not going to try to explain what it is, but it's a very interesting kind of sort of quasi-governmental foundation based at SU that does a lot of good work in Africa and the Mideast. So we will be switching gears a bit and talking about that next week. This week, as I reminded you last week, if you wanted to go back and review some of the old Onondaga Citizens League studies on the topic of government services, this week we are talking about government modernization. It's, again, as I said, a topic that has been a favorite of the roundtable and has been supported over the decades by studies of OCL beginning in the 80s with a study of police services, police and fire services. There are many of you in this room that either chaired or took part in those studies. And again, in 92, talking about town and village governments, and then 2005, where we talked about strategic government consolidation or modernization. Well, after many years of work on the topic, we turned our studies over to Syracuse 2020, and now today we see the fruits of our labors with the consensus, you see, by the people for the future, the Commission on Local Government Modernization. So it's my pleasure to welcome you here today, Kathy Richardson, Neil Murphy, former president of SUNY ESF, former Congressman Jim Walsh, the three co-chairs of the commission, and they will be telling you more about the composition, the goals, and the timetable, the tasks, and how you'll be able to get involved in that. And I think we're going to start with Kathy, who tells me that she wants to... You're going to start? All right, we'll take it away. And then, as you know, at the end, we'll have time for questions. And I'm sure there will be a lot of them, so bear with me as I spot you at that time. So take it away.
Thank you, Sandra. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you. What a great turnout. We're just kibitzing up here. We're all formers. But we're all now current co-chairs, so that feels better. What a great turnout. And thank you all for all of your years and years and years of leadership and thought and collaboration on these issues that really separate us from other communities. I'm part of this because this is a way for our community to separate itself from other communities that aren't proactive and looking ahead and trying to improve the future of their communities. Some communities don't do this. Ours does. We have a long way to go, but we have... I think we've assembled CEO, CNY, and 2020, and all the groups who support us have really helped us to assemble a great commission, very reflective of our community, people with old ideas and new ideas, people who've made mistakes and learned from them, others who are not afraid to make mistakes for the first time. So it's really exciting to be a part of this. Let me begin with talking about building consensus. The Commission on Local Government Modernization, there must be a shorter way to say that. I'm not sure. Somebody will come up with that.
Consensus.
But the name commission of the commission, consensus, really gets to the heart of our vision. The process we're launching is inclusive. We invite significant public participation beyond the commission. We have to find a good way to do that, to bring in more thought, more stakeholders, more people who are willing to collaborate with us. It's not just about the commission and the commission co-chairs. It's about the community. Why a commission? If you look at this picture, this is about the time we invented our government. Now put a Ford Fusion hybrid next to that. And that's the difference between what we were and what we can be. Our government structure was designed in the 18th century. We need to modernize it. No organization can go without change. No organization can benefit its subscribers without change. And that's what we're about. We want to make sure that local resources are focused equitably and effectively to help our economy and protect our community assets. The Commission on Local Government Modernization is helping to shape a vision for more effective and efficient local governance in Onondaga County. Through consensus, our community is taking a leadership role in New York State and defining for ourselves how we want to organize and govern locally to make sure that local public service public services meet a high standard of quality at a price that we can all afford. We're building consensus to find our solutions together. Onondaga County, take a look at that slide, if you will, and I'll kind of go through it. We have inefficiencies, and we have duplication. We have 19 towns, 15 villages, a city, a county, 18 school districts, 16 police departments, 55 fire departments, 1,300 special service districts, 177 drainage districts, 143 water districts, 34 zoning ordinances, 34 subdivisions. I mean, this would be tougher, I would think, than to set up a business in the Caucasus in Russia. But we have a troika, so maybe we can help with that. It's mind-boggling. It's truly mind-boggling. Now, another example of these challenges. This slide shows that there are 40 heavy rescue trucks in Onondaga County for less than a half million people. Next slide. New York City has 5. For 8 million people. Now, geographically, there's a difference, but come on. Do we need all of those? Maybe we do. Maybe we'll find out that we do. I'll be surprised. But that's what this is about. And that's a pretty high-profile example. Now, here's something I do know something about. If you look at those slides, Jacksonville, which went through a process similar to this quite a while ago, 850,000 people, twice as many people, one municipality, 20 elected officials. Now, can you imagine if we went from what we have is 207 down to 20? There'd be a lot of competition for those spots, I would think. But the point is, other communities are doing it differently, and they're benefiting from it. We have great folks locally, people who care a great deal about this community, who are elected. And they wouldn't be elected if they weren't. But do we need this structure? That's what we intend to find out. Next slide, cost to taxpayers. I've had my hand in some of those pockets over the years, federally, in the city. And the poor taxpayer is not being tickled right there. It's expensive. It's expensive. That's kind of where we're at. I just would might close my section by saying Governor Cuomo has acknowledged that we in New York State have too much government at the local level. Maybe we do at the state level too, but we're focused on the local level. And in his state of the state message, he talked about this and ways that we as a community, as a state, and the communities within the state can look at modernization of our 18th century governance. And he's actually put some money out there, and with the help of our state representative, State Senator John DeFrancisco and Senator Valesky, we're going to utilize some of that money to try to do this. Hopefully the community will buy in. Hopefully the data will provide the obvious answers. But we really appreciate you being here this morning with us. And the next next part of the Troika is Kathy Richardson.
Good morning. Why now? And by the way, I'm standing because my tongue gets ahead of me if I sit down. All right? You know, if you looked at the co-chairs, what's wrong with this? These co-chairs? Who would ever let three Irishmen do anything together? We promise we will not meet at Kitty Hoynes, though. Okay. Anyway, Sandra reminded us this morning of all the Onondaga Citizen League studies that we have gone through. And the last one was almost 9 years ago. It amazes me. But Center State CEO and Syracuse 2020 have really, over the last two or three years, really been working in the background. They've been going and meeting with these communities that you saw some of the slides that have done some kind of modernization. They have been garnering the support of these are their partners. Look at significant on that. Businesses, 50 businesses signed a letter saying supporting the formation of this commission on it. The Onondaga County Legislature passed a resolution unanimously to ask the state to give us some help. The Common Council did the exact same thing. We really have the business community. And by the way, when we talk about the business community, we're talking about the not-for-profits, the hospitals, the educational institutions. It's the business in our community on it. But why now? What's different? I mean, here we have the county. I'm not going to read. You can almost read that over in that corner. But we're really at a point of what's different. We've had the county. Now we have, and keep going, we have the city. I mean, Stephanie and Joni stood at the same podium forming this commission. And at that time, Senator DeFrancisco reminded us that we have studied things to death. So what's different now? Why do we think we are ready for it? Well, I've been around for 72 years, and I'm saying for the very first time, I think the stars are aligned, okay? We have a county executive, we have a mayor, who don't always agree, but they trust each other. They both are facing fiscal stress in their governments. They both are facing unsustainable costs and escalation of costs. And they've already started collaborating. You know that they formed a common purchasing department. They also have done, they've coexisted or co-located their economic development. They're always looking for things. So that's it. Look at the local businesses. Have you ever seen businesses and universities and hospitals and everything collaborating? And they're not just collaborating. They're being proactive, looking out, how can we do things better together in our community on it? I said before that 50 businesses signed a letter. That's unheard of. And the towns and villages aren't just sitting there either. They meet on a regular basis. They're looking for best practices. They're talking, collaboration. I mean, things are happening. And now let's look at what's the next thing. It's us, the taxpayers. And we saw the picture of us not being tickled. Okay? We realize we cannot sustain the great services that we have now in the city and the county by just raising taxes. We know we are one of the highest real estate taxes in the nation. I mean, we know that can't sustain. But something I bet you don't know, and this absolutely shocked me, if you took all the counties in the United States and ranked them according to the number of governmental units per capita, Onondaga County is number 9 out of 3,000. That list that Jim read, 1,817, if I added correctly, governmental units in Onondaga County. There's got to be time where we can streamline this on it. And if I don't, I guess the stars align, the cooperation and everything of all the way across everything. But you know what? In the back of my mind is I've seen those TV shows and everything about Detroit. Now, we're not a Detroit. Do I think we'll ever be a Detroit? But their leaders were trying to do the best thing. I read that last month they had 526 water main breaks in Detroit, some of them not fixed as of yesterday. Their fire response time is over a half hour. My house would be gone. Theirs is a story of declining tax revenues, abandoned homes, new taxes without cost cutting, increased pension costs, no cut in health care benefits. Does any of that sound familiar? What they did is they failed to act. It isn't that they were bad people. They failed to act. We're never going to be a Detroit. I am very confident of that. But we should think about when you need to act. And now is the time. And, you know, I know that people will say that, well, look at the couple of fire departments tried together and the police department, and some of them have been successful. But the people have voted it down. That's the prime example why this is good. This has to be, can't be done piecemeal. If they say to me, well, you can keep your fire department, it's only 50, you only save $50 in your taxes. Well, that $50 at one time doesn't sound bad. But the 40 rescue trucks, at those at brand new go to almost $1 million apiece. I mean, so there are rooms for efficiency on it. So it isn't a case of whether we need to change. It's really to what extent and how do we do it. And that's what this consensus is all about, is trying to look at everything on it. And Jim mentioned we were very lucky that Senator DeFrancisco, with the support of Senator Valesky, have gotten us $250,000 because we need 1,817 different units. We have to understand them completely before we can even start doing anything. We have to know our own community, and that's what is our first step on it, to going on that. Now, I would like to have, I know you can't, some of you, but it's on the papers, but our commission members, it's just a great group. We have Amini Audi from Stickley. We have Larry Bousquet, who actually headed up the OCL last study on consent. We have Bill Byrne. We have Donna Desiato from East Syracuse Manoa. We have B. Gonzalez from Syracuse University. Darlene Kerr, oh, another retired. I like those people. Pat Kilmartin, Onondaga Legislature. We have Melanie Littlejohn, National Grid. We have Andy Maxwell, who I actually saw here, who's running the combined Syracuse Onondaga County Planning Agency. We have Stephen Meyer from Welch Allen. We have Dennis Ava for the Greater Labor Council. We have Narek Nakarta from the Town Supervisors. We have Mark Olson, who's the president of the Villages Association or something. We have Sharon Owens from Syracuse Model Neighborhood Facilities, Ann Rooney from the county, and Chad Ryan. As Jim Wall said, that helped us a lot with the age quota. It brought down the average age a lot on our commission on it. But it really is the time. And, you know, the one thing I'm going to ask you to do, you know, and there's probably a few of you out here, there's a few naysayers in here, but in this group, the collective information that you have, some of you have served on those 1,817 units. You know where things where there's opportunity for streamlining. Let us know. We're going to try to have this completely open. We're having our first meeting at noon today. We're hoping to video everything so it goes online. You'll be able to follow. Contact us. Do whatever that you can to help us. We just need your best knowledge on this. And if you want to participate, one of the things we're going to decide today is what about forums and going out into the community on it. But I'm going to ask you to do one other thing. People are going to say, same old, same old, same old. And what we need you to do is to say, it's not the same old, same old. So I'm going to ask you to do remember four things. The first one, the stars are aligned. First time we've ever had this much cooperation in our county. So the stars are aligned. The next is kids and grandchildren. I'm not doing it for me. You're not doing it. We're doing it for the next generations. We've loved living in Central New York. We've loved being here. We are still here because we love it. And we want our families and the kids next door and everything to be able to stay in our community. So that's the second. The third is remember that nine. We're number nine. Or nine times, even it's nine times the average number. I mean, It's incredible we have that many units. And the last one is, if you really need to scare the whatever out of people, say Detroit, okay? Four things. Stars align, kids and grandchildren, number nine, and Detroit. And thanks in advance for all your help.
I kind of have to come up at the end. And I have the driest part of all of this. But this is equally, this is an issue that transcends the city and the county. I don't know how many of you had read the Post Standard this morning and had read about John Curtin's struggles in the village of Marcellus. So this is something that really covers all of government in Onondaga County. And so it's really important that we move forward with this. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what we're going to be doing. This definitely is a time to do this. Our mission is basically to shape a vision for more effective and efficient local governance in Onondaga County. That's the bottom line. That's where we want to get to. But to do that, we've got to gather solid data. We have to have the analytics. We have to know what the cost of delivery of services are. We need to go through all of that to truly understand where we are and where we can find those efficiencies. And then we have to develop the best possible recommendations for the public to consider. This is not an issue that the commission decides. The public has to decide. Public has to decide the form of government, the type of government, the delivery of services that they feel as though we need going forward. The commission is here to facilitate the discussion and get it to a vote, get it to a referendum. So we're going to be, again, looking at the number and types of government. And you heard Kathy talk about the some 1,800 layers of different types of bodies that literally deliver service or provide some form of governance in Onondaga County. We need to look at the cost associated with those to truly understand where the costs are in that overall structure. We need to review the nature and extent of the services that are delivered. We need to understand better how the services are delivered, the efficiency of delivery, the quality of the services that are delivered. And then we need to consider both the opportunities, but even more importantly, the barriers. The barriers associated with restructuring government in Onondaga County. You have to understand what those barriers are. And from that, we should be able to come up with efficient scenarios that will actually come up with a better way to deliver those services and hopefully in the process reduce the cost for the delivery of those services. Now, our recommendations. Our recommendations basically are going to be focused on strengthening and streamlining the structure and operations of local government, improving the effectiveness, reducing costs, and recommendations facilitating the merger, consolidation, and partnering in the delivery of those services to deliver services of higher quality with greater efficiency and hopefully lower cost. This is not just an issue about just reducing cost, but actually it's an issue about how do we deliver better services and deliver them much more efficiently. Our goals, the biggest one we have, find common ground. Find common ground and build the necessary consensus to take action. That's what distinguishes this effort from the other efforts in the past. Focus on finding common ground and literally coming up with a consensus so we can move forward with action. This is not about a study. This is about action. Complete the analysis, and this is going to be a challenge for us, but complete the analysis within 12 months. This is not going to be a long, protracted thing. We're going to have sufficient time to get it done, but we've got to stay on task, and we've got to deliver. And in the end, we're going to have recommendations as a result of this process by the end of 2015. And in the end, the public will make the decision on how we should move forward. Our responsibility is to literally give to the public a set of recommendations, and in the end, you decide the kind of government we need to take us forward in the next century. A big thing is getting involved, and this is part of that process of engagement. That's why we're here today. We need you to be part of the advocacy for this. We have a website. Please visit the website and visit it on a regular basis, www.consensuscny.com, and sign up to help build consensus. We also want you to participate through the process and to keep an open mind about all of those options that are available to us. We want to hear from you. Communicate with us. Share your thoughts. Share your perspectives. Share what you think some of the barriers are. We need to understand that. We need you to be our advocates. We need you to be engaged in this process. This is what it's all about. It's by the people and for the future. And just like Kathy said, fundamentally, Jim, Kathy, and myself aren't committing ourselves to this process for ourselves. It's for our children. It's for our grandchildren. And to make sure that we have a community that's going to be effective, it's going to help them provide for their future. That's what this is all about. We want, on behalf of my co-chairs, we want to thank you for your engagement here this morning. We really need you to be part of this effort, and I know you're going to be part of this effort. So thank you very much.
Good. I know there are going to be questions. When Kathy was talking about collaboration, I was reminded of our program last week when we had the Syracuse Opera Symphoria and the Landmark talking about collaboration. And, I mean, it happened because it had to, but it was helped along a lot by the fact that they had, I think, the Ideas Collaborative and the arts organization and people helping them along with the help of the Gifford Foundation, and it helped them to get outside of themselves and see it. And I see this in a much bigger box doing the same thing. Ed. And then, of
course. Sure. Good morning. To me, there's no question that you'll come up with a good plan. Always finding out what the answers are to the problems is the easy part. The hard part is what we just ended up with, building that consensus, and how do you get there? You got to overcome just any obstacle, just any kind of change, obviously we know is difficult for people to deal with, and you got turf wars, you got all those other things that are going to come into play. To me, I guess my question really goes to is really that answer to the consensus. How do you plan to try to pull together different venues of integrating people right down to the villages level and right all the way up to the county level to have people feel that they are part of the process and therefore part of the answer, so that when you do make that, maybe it's going to be a referendum, actual vote, that they're going to say yes, at least in a majority. How do you see that coming together?
I think an important part of that is getting out in the community, and we're committed to get out into all levels of the community, all regions of the community, to facilitate input and try and understand what some of the biases are, some of the things that are important to people, what some of the barriers are, to really try and get that that input. The other thing is for those in our community that are younger, to reach them, there's going to be a strong effort in the area of social media to get them engaged, where they would engage, for example, in that vehicle, where they might not engage themselves in terms of open meetings and that kind of thing. So reaching out to people is going to be a very, very important part of this overall process. We have, as Jim had said, we have about $250,000 to date in resources. We're going to be hiring a consultant to help us. And one of the requirements of that consultant is that they have a communications expert that will help guide us through that process that you have identified, which is so important.
I knew that Clyde Ohl, who's been one of those public servants and OCL members, would have a question.
It's not so much a question, but an observation. I think the biggest difference between now and, say, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, is the fact that back then in the old days, to even talk about and use the word consolidation was the equivalent of touching the third rail in politics. And so we've moved quite a ways when we're having discussions of this type. The other thing, just a comment as well, I think the thing that's lacking now in the present arrangement is the lack of oversight, just plain oversight. You have 55 fire departments across the county, and you can imagine the difference in quality as far as oversight by town boards and so on. It's a very difficult task. And so I think your challenge probably would be to provide oversight, meaningful, consistent oversight.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for your presentation. I'm excited about the next year and what we're going to, the discussions that are going to take place. But you spoke about a referendum, and I'm wondering, it sounds like there's a cascade of decisions that would have to be made to implement this. So how do you see that playing out?
I've always been a little bit idealistic, but maybe too idealistic, but I'm hoping that the data, and really important to this is the data, what we use, and hopefully the data and the analytics will shout out the answers to us. And if they do, and the commission embraces those answers, and we can come to a conclusion about how to do this, there's going to be a campaign on this referendum. There will be opposition. You can bank on it. There always is. No matter what you do, there's always opposition. That's something we need to plan for. But we also, if this is something that seems rational and obvious and has broad support, we'll have to run a campaign to get this to the public and to get their support for it. And as I see the process, we go through that. We get the RFP, we get the consultant, we get the data, we get the commission broken up into subcommittees to analyze it. We come to a conclusion a year out or so, and then we present it to the public, and hopefully the public is engaged all the way along.
And we do have Center State CEO and Syracuse 2020 really have done a great job of going out and talking to different places in across the United States that have come up with not necessarily consolidation. I'm just going to call it streamlining, all different kinds of forms. And so we have models out there of what happened after they came to conclusion, how to get the vote through. We really do have it. In fact, when I was considering whether I want to be a co-chair, Kathy Murphy gave me a 700-page report from Princeton, who was successful in doing their streamlining on it. And it really, the thoroughness of how it was done is exactly what Jim was talking about, is once they came up with what was the best thing, then there was a whole strategy for communicating it and getting as many people, getting 51% on board, I guess.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with Kathy that we need to really look at what other communities are doing. I mean, following what's being done in Lincoln, Nebraska, Sioux City, what they're going through, and a very parallel thing in the state of New Jersey. One of the big things is understanding those best practices and being able to articulate those to the community as a whole.
Being number 9 on a national scale would usually be a great thing. But what puts us at number 9 is really the special service districts, right? We have 1,300 special service districts. So I wonder if you're looking at some way of really combining those or consolidating those. That might get us off the number 9 list.
We're going to be looking at everything, truthfully. I don't even know what those 1,300 are. As I sit right now, I have no idea what they are.
I agree with you. I tend to be a water guy in my history and that kind of thing. And you look at some 77 or whatever the number is of water districts. Just think about the improvement in the quality of water we could deliver by moving on that one service along the lines that you suggest.
A really consistent theme, both at Thursday Morning Roundtable and in our community as a whole, is how our education system is failing our children and our community in general. I notice the school districts are on the list. I know Dr. Desiato probably isn't here this morning, but do you see this as an opportunity to really evaluate how we fund our schools and how we structure our school districts as opposed to just fire departments and water departments and that sort of thing?
This is one of the conundrums as far as I'm concerned. If there was anything that probably I think the school districts are such turf wars and such that not in my backyard and all that, I'm open, but I'll be really surprised if we are able at this time to tackle that problem. But right now, we're having our first meeting at 12:30 today, so who knows what's on the table. It's open. It's a blank slate right now, but I think out of that whole list of 1,817, that's the one that keeps me awake at night.
Let's assume that you're completely successful in what your objectives are.
I like that assumption.
I wonder how you could handle voting when you have so many different jurisdictions. I mean, how do you handle the city, the county, the water districts, the school districts? What kind of a voting procedure are you going to have to approve such a thing?
The crystal ball isn't clear yet. It's a great question. I think really what you get to is how do you best represent the people in this new construct? And do they feel well represented? Do they feel as well represented in the future scenario as they do in the present? And I think that's what we're about. It's voting, it's services. I remember talking with Bill Hudnut, who is a minister, who's also mayor of Indianapolis. They did this 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he said, it's all about services. It's not about tax base or tax collections or cost. He said, if you can improve services, people will embrace this. And who in this room doesn't think we can improve services? That's our goal.
Yeah. I absolutely agree with Jim. I think the issue of cost of services, that'll take care of itself if we find ways as to how we can more efficiently deliver the service. We need to keep the focus on that area.
And the one thing that I was really, as I was doing all the reading that Kathy was giving me, that it struck me is not one city, county that have streamlined haven't immediately seen a growth in their economic thing. That is the one documented thing. There's economic growth after streamlining. So the costs aren't necessarily the thing. It's the economic growth. And so that's the one thing that hit me. Besides the nine was the economic growth, every single entity that streamlined in one way or another.
Hi. I know there's a question in here somewhere.
Just make a comment.
No, but I wanted to say a couple things. You know, you have open minds, but I sense there is an agenda here, which is that your recommendations are not going to be, let's maintain all 1,800 of those units. You're going to recommend a smaller number. Now, you also mentioned that cost may not be the decisive factor. And as we know, there were some consolidations that were promising reductions of costs that were rejected by the voters. I guess my question is, in terms of the referendum, the recommendations that come out of this, is it possible to present a scenario, a template for what this county could look like, and present it like a really delicious piece of ripe fruit that's just ready for the taxpayers to embrace with improvements of service? I mean, are you going to present a vision, or is it going to be a set of 20 recommendations?
My opinion, if we don't have a vision that strikes the chord and meets the needs of people, this isn't going anywhere. We've got to strike that vision, and people have to see that this community can really grow, can thrive in the context of that vision.
This question is not for Kathy. It's for the, you two men.
Because I threatened her if she asked me a question, I was going to come down and beat her to a bloody pulp.
My experience in dealing with this issue is when you get citizens fully engaged and agreeing on something, then we trip over such things as insurance law, state law, union regs, et cetera, organizations that the civic body does not control directly. So what are the, is the county strong enough to move ahead without the blessing of the state, or is that going to stymie us from moving ahead?
I'm not sure what the answer is. There's a lot of issues before us. But clearly the governor has made a public statement that he wants to see this happen. What it is, nobody really knows, but the idea is less governmental structure and more efficient governmental structure. So it seems like the direction from the top is go for it. I like Shelley Silver. I have no problem with Shelley Silver. He does what he has to do. But this is not about Shelley Silver. This is about us. And I've always known in public life that if a community supports something, it usually gets what it wants. It has to decide what it wants and then get everybody to come along. And I think if we did that, whether you're Shelley Silver or you're Dean Skelos or whoever it is, if our local representatives go to Albany and say, this is what our community wants, they'll go along with us.
I absolutely agree with Jim on that. And you look at the support of the Common Council and the county legislature for this effort. You look at the county executive. You look at the mayor on board. You look at our Republican senatorial leadership and on the Democratic side. Things seem to be aligned.
The stars.
Aligned.
I just wanted to say a little bit about Detroit because that's obviously been mentioned a number of times because of their failure. That was entirely our failure, not their failure. At the time of the war, when white men were going off to war, they brought a lot of black people from the South up to Detroit to work in the factories. These people had not had the education, did not have the background, but they were intelligent people, worked hard in the factories, that's why they produced so much. And then after the war, they were all fired. They had no place else to go. They had to stay in Detroit and combine families living into houses. It was nothing like Syracuse at all.
Thank you. Question?
Let me just a quick comment on Detroit. I was there 2 weeks ago on business. And that city has great bones. Mm-hmm. It's a fabulous city. It's got some problems, obviously. But there was a story in the Washington Post last week that really struck me, and that is that what's happening all over the country, and I was preaching this gospel for years, that the cities are going to come back. The big cities have come back. Other than, for example, Detroit, the medium-sized cities are coming back. Syracuse is coming back. They're all coming back because people want to be with each other. They want to be close in. The services are all here. What's going on in Detroit, you get sort of the urban pioneers to come in first into the neighborhoods. And then everything levels out and crime goes down and services come up and people love being together and the dynamics of all of that. Well, they did that, and now what's happened is those people that came in first are being pushed out because rents are going up in the city of Detroit, and more well-to-do people are moving in. I mean, it's not perfect, but the point is that even Detroit is seeing urban growth and renewal, and it's organic. It's not necessarily governmentally driven, and we're doing it here too, and it's a lot more manageable and scalable here.
For the newer members of TMR, the founder of TMR and OCL, Lee Smith, advocated for metropolitan government since the, I think, late 80s. So this has been a decades-long effort, and I'm really thrilled to see this commission formed. And I would say I agree with Kathy and the panelists that the stars are aligned. I think the timing is right. But you've talked a lot about data. And one of the concerns or one of the major issues is that every town, every village thinks they're unique. Every fire department thinks that they provide a service much better than their colleagues in the other departments. Same way with highway and everything else. Combined with that, they all collect data differently. All their labor contracts are different. All of the budgets tend to be, they have to be constructed in a certain way to meet state regulations, but they all have variations. So my question is, how are you going to deal with that? How are you going to normalize all of that data and make sense out of it?
We made reference to the hiring of a consultant, and we're looking at a draft RFP that we're going to share this afternoon with the members of the commission. That's one of the big tasks on the part of that consultant or that consultant team, is to help us with that. Because I'm right with you. If we can't put it on the same spreadsheet, we're going nowhere. And that getting normalizing those analytics is going to be one of the more difficult things that we're going to have to do in going through this process.
But there are consultants out there that have experience doing this in other regions of the country. So that we know that when we send out the RFP, that there are consultants out there who will respond, who are good at getting the apples and oranges and making the fruit salad, I guess.
Okay. But Carol makes a good point about it's about the cost as well as the quality of the service. So,
the process, too.
That's part of the process, I'm sure.
Good morning. I'm interested in how you're going to involve our local state legislators. It's my understanding, the reason I ask is that it's my understanding that other large cities in New York State years ago had their legislators go to bat for fair funding for their school districts. Our local legislators have never really made a commitment to change the funding formula for low-wealth school districts like Syracuse, and that's really a crucial piece of the puzzle.
The leadership for this, the funding for this, was brought to us by our state representatives. And so, they're on board, and well, hopefully they'll stay with us all the way through.
You know, I know that Syracuse 2020 has been following that funding formula and really advocating that we need a fair and equitable formula to distribute school aid. And we have to continue to push on that. And I think everybody in the room understands that one of the major issues is the downstate legislature and some of the self-interests that are associated with making the appropriate decisions for a fair and equitable distribution of aid.
You talked about the fact that many of the agencies in our area talk about how good they are. One example that works a little bit and tells us that underneath they know that they have a lot of weaknesses. We brought Dr. Clark in here at one point to start the Burn Center. He found out that a patient had just come down from Messina 6 hours because of the snow, and the person was still burning inside them because they had not been treated properly. He went to that emergency rescue squad up in Messina, and he showed them how they could have stopped that person from burning inside there. What happened was all of the other rescue squads around wanted to get that experience because they knew that they had a weakness in this particular area. Before Bill Clark was finished, the legislators were coming to him and saying, can we help support this program? He had gotten all of the people, and then he was going to get the leaders. It can work that way, no question about it. You get the right people out there to find out the weaknesses and how they can be corrected, and the people will join in and will support the project.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Okay. Any other questions? Yes. I'm sure there would be.
I can beat you up, too.
I was just going to say, don't beat me to a pulp.
These are my friends instead of my enemies, I think.
Yeah.
So just a suggestion on some tactics on social media, because you talked about it. You need a hashtag. I'm going to suggest, so make a note, make the hashtag ConsensusCNY. Who are you looking at?
Is our staff, Lori, okay. Kathy Murphy.
Put it all over every single one of your slides. I just looked you up on Facebook. There's no page there, so right. You need something.
Yeah.
I don't know who's in charge of your social media, but for this afternoon or noon, you're at Fayetteville.
Fayetteville.
You're at Fayetteville?
We're in
right?
Fayetteville,
no,
right.
No, I'm not volunteering. I put the hashtag on
yeah,
your slides.
Yes, she is. I wrote her name
there.
Down.
No, you
yeah.
know. You
yeah.
got my name.
Yeah.
So just a tactic.
We absolutely agree with you, and that's one of the things we need this, the consultant to bring to the table, and that's clearly in the draft RFP that we're going to be looking at this afternoon. Yeah.
Between now and December 2015, when the final recommendations come out, we're actually a living laboratory. The county, the towns, the villages are all going to be undertaking projects. One of the examples is the recently announced West Shore project by a Democratic governor and a Republican county executive for a village that's led by a Democrat and a town that's led by a Republican. Will this commission be able to provide any information, resources, or assistance to any of those projects that are going on now, between now and December 15, to help them be better at what they need to do?
Well, all I can say is we're going to strive for transparency. So whether we go directly to them, we're hoping that nothing that we're going to do isn't open to the public and open to anybody who wants the information we have. I mean, we really, that is one of the key things that the three of us has decided before when we were talking to commission members is we aren't a governmental agency, so we don't have to have the sunshine laws and all that. We've decided everything's open. We're going to try to film every one of our meetings. I mean, it's all this, the video's always on it. So we're going to do it. So it's going to be there. Whether we will take side runs to when we hear of a project, I don't think that's our mission, okay? But with the information will be there. They want it. We got it. We will have it, hopefully.
I think we're very hopeful that in this process, as Kathy said, we get really strong engagement. And we hope that as energy builds, that energy and kind of some of the concepts and ideas as they're developed will by of themselves lead to bits of change and changes in approach and that kind of thing as we go forward. But the objective, as we talked a little bit earlier, we've got to establish this vision and the vision for the future, and we need to make sure that as many of the public are as on board and as educated about that and that they share that vision. That's really what our focus has to be.
Just a comment, a little bit of inspiration, historical perspective for inspiration. The city of Syracuse was born out of consolidation, and it had to go to a public referendum, and it wasn't unanimous. But once the two villages, Saline and Syracuse, merged, the economy really took off.
Yep. Thank you.
Good morning. I thought I can ask a couple of different questions, but I think in the interest of time, just a couple thoughts. One would be, when you're looking at trying to gather data, will you also be looking at actually auditing some of the public services with an eye to modernization? Sometimes it's hard to tell what decade we're in some processes. For example, I couldn't be here last week because for some reason I can't get snow plowing unless I make a phone call the last few years in our neighborhood, and I still found streets that weren't done last week. So it would help if we could see some real improvements during this process. So I think given Dave's question about how to help current processes, how to have some process improvements rather than all the funding going to an outside consultant, certainly outside consultants can inform the process, but they're not the be-all to end-all.
No.
These
no.
local governments have different charts of accounts. They're on different calendar years, yep. different fiscal years. It's going to be very difficult to gather all of that data and analyze it. It's going to be very, very difficult. You're going to have to make some decisions based upon incomplete data. There's no doubt about it. So is there an opportunity to open up some of that money rather than all of it going to one consultant and break it up into different pots. You've got some great suggestions here. There's people in town that could help with some of these processes. And, for example, maybe a speakers bureau, use some of the funding to bring, if we have recommendations for outside speakers, people that could be informative, why not use some of that funding to pay for speakers to come in and engage the public? People could come, and if you organize it properly, they could come to TMR and speak in the morning and speak in the afternoon to more of an audience that's more dedicated to this issue. But help inform all of us, not just the commission.
Well, I think with the consultant, obviously, we're going to encourage the consultant to use what local resources to the extent that it can help make the consultant's work be more efficient. And I think that we want to have some of those people come into our community and talk about their practices, as we have in the recent past. So I think we want to continue to go down that road.
Yeah, we've already spoken about if we have speakers come in, that we, besides educating us, that we want them to be able to, if we bring them in for a day, let's put them around the community and doing so. We've already talked a little bit about that. And we hope the commission at noon today will go along with us mm-hmm. on it.
All right. Well, hopefully.
Okay, can I just end, Sandra? I know you're ready to end right now. But remember those four things, please. Stars aligned. Kids and grandchildren. Ninth in the nation. Okay. And I'll drop the Detroit.
All right. And then I would also remind you that there is a website, consensuscny.com. It's just, again, this commission has just been born, so to speak, so it's new, but information is out there. I really appreciate the number of times that you've stressed that the commission meetings will be open to the public, and if people can't make it, and I know you're going to try to move them around to different places, which can be a challenge, but it might be helpful, but that you'll also try to get them taped so that people and put on the website. I remind people that today's session has been taped by WCNY, and it will be a broadcast on Sunday night, and it will also be on their website very soon. So, again, kind of going back to where we started with all those Onondaga Citizens League studies, and OCL was actually born out of a trip by TMR members to Toronto where they went to hear about metropolitan government in 1976 or something. But what we always hear about is data and communication, and I'm confident that that's where you're heading us. So thank you very much, Kathy Richardson, Neil Murphy, Jim Walsh.